Okay, well, here I'm going to do something a bit different tonight. I'll still say it because everybody expects me to. Turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. But here's the thing. We actually read about half of this week's Torah portion last week because of the difference between the calendars and catching up, and I wanted to spend a little bit more time doing some kind of different things. That's going to continue this week. We're only going to read the last part of the portion in detail, chapter 20. So turn with me, if you will, as to chapter 19, anyway, of the book of Leviticus or Vayikra. And what I'm going to do is to just kind of summarize the part that we already read. Because, of course, the name of the Torah portion is in chapter 19, the first verse. Well, the first unique verse, anyway. As it usually does in a lot of places, it says, "And Yahuwah spoke to Moshe." Here's what he said. So here are the words in red. "Speak to Kol Edat, all of the congregation of the B'nai Israel, all the children of Israel, and say to them the following. Y'all," this is the y'all form, "shall be holy." And that word is plural, so it's kadosh. But in this case, the parsha is kedoshim, because it's plural. "So y'all shall be holy, for ani, I, Yahuwah, your El, am, in fact, kadosh." And then we get a list of commandments and instruction that basically helps to flesh out what that means. Like I said, I read through most of this. I'm going to summarize some elements because there are some kind of general categories. One, "Fear your father and your mother, and you shall keep my Sabbaths." Well, there's one that we don't do, and for the most part, Big Brother doesn't like the idea of people having fathers, so they will subsidize moms to get rid of those guys. And then it says, "Don't turn to idols," and that's one of the consistent themes throughout Scripture. "Don't make any molten gods for yourself," and he signs it, "Ani Yahuwah Elohekim." We have some issues having to do with when you have sacrifices, and essentially the welfare program of Yah, you don't reap the corners of the field, or you just glean it once, and you don't get the fallen fruit and so forth. All of these things essentially make provision for those who are then able to go through and feed themselves by finding the things that have been left behind for them. "You shall not steal," unless, of course, you are IRS or Big Brother. It doesn't say that. It just says, "You shall not steal." What a concept. "Nor shall you deal falsely, nor lie to one another." And in this same portion, we're going to get the reference to dishonest weights and measures, which are an abomination. So I will suggest this idea of not stealing is really endemic to the Torah. And I guess the converse seems to be endemic to Big Brother that hates the Torah and everything that he has written down for us in his instruction. "Don't swear by my name falsely, and this is how you profane the name of Yahuwah." No, it's not saying the GD word, folks. It is swearing falsely by his name and doing things he doesn't say that basically profane his character, which is kind of the opposite of "be holy because I am holy." And he says, signs it, "Ani Yahuwah." "Don't curse the deaf. Don't oppress your neighbors. Don't do unrighteousness to the poor." Then a section that I think is extremely important. "Don't go up and down as a talebearer. Do not stand idly by the blood of your neighbor. And you're not to hate your neighbor either. You can rebuke him, and you should rebuke him, and not bear sin because of him. Don't take vengeance nor bear grudges against the children of your people. But in fact," and here is what Yeshua says is the second most important commandment in the book, "love your neighbor as yourself." And we are seeing here a really good indication of what that looks like, how it is that we do that, his instruction. And then he signs it, again, "Ani Yahuwah Eloheka." "You shall keep my statutes. Don't let your cattle gender with diverse kinds." In other words, crossbreeding or mixed breeding. I guess that would also preclude doing things with genetic modifications and manipulations that were happening evidently at the time of Noah. And again, now, interesting. There are some references for having to do with more prohibited sexual relationships. A man that lies carnally with a woman, if she's a bond maid. She was not free, and there was no inquisition. There's an inquisition, but they are not put to death because she was not free. And he then, of course, has to bring his forfeit unto Yahuwah, and the priest can make atonement for him. Some about fruit and not eating the fruit until the fifth year. You do not eat blood, nor practice divination or soothsaying. Don't put tattoos on your skin, any marks whatsoever. Ani Yahuwah, don't turn your daughter into a harlot, even if she goes to the public cesspools. Well, I guess especially. It's almost, folks, as I go through this, given how much of this is so politically incorrect, it's almost hard not to be cynical, right? Because you see the things that are being taught in the cesspools. You see the things that are being pushed on on TV. You see the things that are being done in the whorehouse, the white whorehouse, and in the Congress, and in the various so-called courts about bearing false witness and tainting evidence and lying and bringing false prosecutions. And you just say, come on, is there anything in this book that the modern pagan nation of America with a K and most of the Western world now doesn't just plain gang rape? It ought to infuriate us, because I have a kind of strong sensation that infuriates him. Do not turn to ghosts or familiar spirits. Don't be defiled by them. And you're to rise up before the hoary head, the elderly gentleman. Honor the face of the old man. Fear your Elohim, for I am Yahuwah. You don't do a stranger wrong if he dwells with you. Love him as yourself too, because you are strangers in the land of Egypt. Do not do unrighteousness, whether it comes to judgment or meter yard or weight or in measure. In other words, well, about all the things that aren't being done in America today. Just balances, just weights, just ephah. You shall have Ani Yahuwah, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And it says, you shall observe all my statutes, my ordinances, and do them. Which takes us to chapter 20, which is kind of a continuation of this theme of be holy because I am holy. And it says this, Yahuwah then spoke some more unto Yahuwah. Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, moreover, you shall say to the B'nai Israel, whosoever he be of all the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that gives of his seed to Molech. Okay, yet another fake pagan deity. Right? I don't know. I'm picturing a little gnome-like guy that says, I am the science when I see this, giving your seed to Molech. You know, basically, we're talking about human sacrifice of children, and certainly it's a sacrament today. I can't really mince any words on that score. We have a whole lot of people that that consider this to be kind of the singular element that makes somebody a good socialist and fit to be, oh, I don't know, a fake president or that kind of thing. But the Bible says something different. It says, they shall surely be put to death. People of the land, now we're not in the land, so I guess that's good for the Biden Fuhrer and all of those that want to sacrifice children to Molech and subsidize those who do. They will stone him with stones. And I set my face against that man, he says. I'll cut him off from among his people, because he has given of his seed to Molech to defile my sanctuary, to profane my set-apart name. So we have, again, a contrast. How is it that we're supposed to be kadosh, set apart unto him? He tells us. Got lots of instruction there. And here is the opposite way, to profane my set-apart name, my kadosh name. Now, if the people of the land, and that's, I guess, part of the reason why we have been kicked out of the land. We're not there anymore. If they do hide their eyes from that man, in other words, they ignore it, they pretend he was, actually elected, or that it's not a crime to do what it is that he's doing, but that anybody else would go to jail for, or the kinds of people that sacrifice their children to Molech and then sell baby parts and, really, Mark, they're not doing exactly that. They're not putting the children in the fiery arms of the fake, heated-up, cherry-red god. No, folks, they're just doing about everything else that you can imagine instead. I don't honestly see that there's a whole hell of a lot of difference here. So if they do hide their eyes from that man when he gives his seed unto Molech, and they don't put him to death, now we got a whole land now that's full of this, right? Then I'll set my face against that man, against his family, and I'll cut him off and all that go astray after him, to go astray after Molech from among their people. So I have a rhetorical question. What happens when you got a whole stinking land, entire stinking states that are basically saying, this is your God, oh America, the great God of abortion. And not only that, we like injecting our six-month-old kids with this poison Zyklon B, so they'll never have kids of their own. How's that for making sure that they don't ever have kids to sacrifice to Molech? I'm making the point, because I think Scripture does, very clearly, folks, that there are a lot of things in here that are described that have to do with how to be set apart, because I am, and then how not to, how to profane my set apart name. And I think if you look at this, and if you just go through this calmly and look at the instruction here, you'll find that if the United States, if it doesn't break every single blankety blank in one of these, they certainly have a handle on getting rid of most of them. And the ones that they haven't yet, and I have yet to find too many in here, I'm sure they're going to teach those in the grade schools real soon now. The soul that turns unto ghosts, familiar spirits, and goes astray after them. I'll set my face against that soul, and I'll cut him off from among his people. Now, when the entire country is doing this, how do you cut them off from their people? Interesting, right? Remember, we know that the land vomited out its inhabitants. We know that a judgment is, certainly owed, and I guess we'll see. So, sanctify yourself, he says. Set yourselves apart, and be set apart. Be holy. It's kind of a, the words literally are circular. They mean similar things. For, ani Yahuwah Elohechem, I am Yahuwah your El. And keep, you keep my statutes and do them. Ani Yahuwah, who sets you apart, who sanctifies you, and makes you kadosh. For whatever, whosoever, whatsoever man there is, that curses his father or his mother, well, surely he shall be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood, his own blood, shall be upon him. The man that commits adultery with another man's wife, he that commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. The man that lies with his father's wife, he has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, wait a second. Does this sound kind of familiar? Because didn't we just talk about this? Why is this? Is it redundant? And I'm going to suggest that just a couple chapters back here in Leviticus, we saw a list and an explanation of things that have to do with forbidden sexual relationships. Things that basically it just says, don't do. So we've seen most of these, and even in a similar order. They're not identical word for word, because what's the difference here? The difference is, before, we're just told don't do them. And we're going to be, for example, when we look at the issue of male homosexuality, don't do it. But again, like with adultery, what we're going to see is there is now a penalty being prescribed, and it is often, and in these cases, it is the death penalty. Man that lies with his father's wife, he's uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon him. If a man lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They've wrought corruption. Their blood shall be upon them. And here we go. If a man lies with mankind as with womankind. And we were told this before. Both of them are toiba. They have committed abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So here's yet another place that, of course, we don't teach this in the cesspools, right? We teach that's just as good as a man lying with a woman. That's just as good as the kind of sexual relationship that he ordained that makes up the basis for the family and the entire building block of society. No wonder the entire society is being destroyed. If a man takes with his wife also her mother, well, that's wickedness. They are to be burnt with fire, both he and they, so that there is no wickedness among you. If a man lies with a beast, i.e. bestiality, this is going to be in the list of LGBTQ++B, he shall surely be put to death. You shall slay the beast. And then, just to make it clear, because sometimes man includes man and women, but in this case, he is saying, no, it's men and women explicitly. So if a man lies with a beast, he dies, and you slay the beast. If a woman approaches unto a beast to lie down before it, you shall kill the woman and the beast. Surely they shall be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So we have both sexes enumerated here. If a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and notice, this is the implication, obviously, is that they may be different women. The man may have more than one wife and more than one daughter, be it multiple wives. If he sees their nakedness and she sees his nakedness, this is a shameful thing. They shall be cut off in the sight of the children of their people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his torahlessness. Now, if a man shall lie with a woman during the time of her monthly nidah, and he then uncovers her nakedness. He has made naked her fountain, and she has uncovered the fountain of her blood. Both of them shall be cut off from among their people. So this is another one of those things. We saw this as well, the prohibition against having congress with even a wife during the time of the monthly nidah. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, she's your aunt, nor your father's sister, she's a different kind of an aunt, because he has made naked his near kin, they shall bear their iniquity. Now, if a man lies with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness, they shall bear their sin, they shall die childless. It's an interesting kind of a set of instruction, isn't it? Because there are all kinds of things that are essentially prohibited, but some of them seem to have a more immediate and more death-oriented penalty than others. The man takes his brother's wife, it is impurity. Now, this one I want to pause for a second, because we know that the law of the levirate says something different. Here is one of those cases where it seems to make a really big difference that we understand that we rightly divide the word. So, if a man takes his brother's wife, normally, it says, that's impurity. He's uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. They shall be childless. But wait a minute. What is the law of the levirate? When brethren dwell together, is essentially what it says. If the brother dies and he does not have an heir, he does not have a male son, then the near of kin, the surviving brother, if they dwell together, he is literally to take that woman, the widow at this point, to be his wife. And as you know, the firstborn son, and we saw this with Er and Onan and some of the stories of the time Judah's sons, make the point clear. They are to raise up that firstborn son of the union of the widow with the surviving brother as the heir, the literally, he takes his dead father's name. So there's a place where it's essentially a commandment. And by the way, if you look at the story of Ruth and Boaz, you recognize that we don't have the surviving brother, but we have somebody who's near of kin, and so they had a similar tradition and process. So it's kind of interesting to see how even sometimes for near kin, we get similar things that are understood and that are accomplished. But in any case, if a man otherwise takes his brother's wife, it is impurity. He's uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. So I find it kind of ironic, right? In one case, the child is raised up in the name of the dead brother, the firstborn anyway. And in this case, they are to be childless. Therefore, it says, you shall keep all of my statutes, hukati, and all of my ordinances, my mishpati, and do them, so that the land that I am bringing you in to dwell does not vomit you out. And of course we know that they didn't, and it did. You shall not walk in the statutes. And it's interesting here, this does not say customs. I have an English rendering, and I'm not sure what the King James says. I've got a King James here in the room. Somebody can tell me. Verse 23. You shall not walk in the customs. Well, the word in the Hebrew there is be hukat, the plural of huk. In other words, in the statutes, the law, if you will. Remember, the huk is one of those things that's just do it because I say so. Well, in the case of a nation that is a pagan nation, it's do it because the pagan gods say so. So don't walk in their statutes, which I am casting out before you, because they did all of these things, and therefore I abhorred them. So here's a place where people will, for example, say Romans 13, oh, law of the land, you got to obey the law of the land. If it's an abomination to Yah, you do not. And if anybody tells you Romans 13 says just suck it up, and Big Brother says jump, you say how high, somebody's wrong. And hint, hint, it's not Scripture. It's a twisted rendering of something taken out of context and applied where it doesn't belong. So you are not to walk in the statutes of the nation, which I have cast out before you, because they did these things, things that he's just told us in no uncertain terms, make them an abomination. Therefore, I abhorred them. But I've said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I'll give it to you to possess it, a land flowing with milk and honey, ani Yehuah Elohim, who have set you apart from the peoples. So therefore, you shall separate. Here we go. You shall discern. You shall make a distinction. Separate between the clean beast and the unclean. Between the clean and the unclean fowl. And you shall not make your souls detestable by beast or by fowl or by anything wherewith the ground teems, which I have set apart to you to hold unclean. You shall be set apart to me. For ani Yehuah, I am, and I'm Kadosh. And I have set you apart from the peoples that you should be mine. And we're almost at the end of the portion. This has always been one of those little things that kind of fascinates me. Not that it's the end of the entire sequence here. It is going to begin the next chapter. There's a chapter break. Remember, those were added. And it does say, "And Yahuwah said unto Moshe," and we're going to see that this is a change of subject. So I do think, yeah, this is a good place for a chapter break because we're clearly changing topics. But there's one verse that just almost kind of seems like an afterthought. So whenever you see something that doesn't fit, I think it's interesting, worth paying attention to. So, "You shall be set apart, Kodesh, holy unto me, because I, Yahuwah, am holy." That's how it begins. You'd think that might be how it ends, but there's one more verse. "A man, too, or a woman, that divines, using a ghost or a wizard or a familiar spirit." And this is Ov. "Shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them." Notice there's a continuing theme, too. People who deserve dying, their own blood is upon them. It's their own blood. Remember, the life is in the blood. It's their own fault, and their blood is upon them, which is a kind of an interesting way to put it. It's like saying they got what they deserved. All right. Well, there is a lot of that in here, and like I said, we're going to get a change of topic in the next week's Torah portion. But I do think it's kind of fascinating and certainly worth reiterating again. There's something about these couple portions that I find particularly interesting and at such a time as this. And I've emphasized this, but I think it ought to almost leap off the page at us. You look at what's going on in the fake court systems. People that are being tried for things that aren't crimes. People that have committed crimes that aren't being tried for anything. I look at Jack Smith, this federal wetware agent and literally paid assassin. What's he supposed to do? He's supposed to rig an election. How's he supposed to do it? By any means necessary. He's been caught tampering with evidence. They basically, and it looks like all the evidence suggests, they had meetings with the White Whorehouse. They set all this up. They put the documents where they knew they'd find them. Then they busted them with a SWAT raid. And then they changed the evidence after that. This is what passes for a court system today, folks. Literally breaking everything in here that has to do with judgment and doing right before him and not profaning his name. And then we wonder why it is that a nation like this is so, well, jonesing for judgment. That's a good term, I guess.